Blog Talk Radio.
Begin in a few minutes.
Y'all very much for listening to it.
If you would like to know what's going to be happening in the world around us in the next few months and years ahead, you are in the right spot tonight listening to us on the radio show. And where best to find out what is ahead from God's Word, which is where we will be looking tonight in the book of Revelation. So stay with us. We will begin shortly. Friday Night Special with Diane Lenning. We'll be with you in a few minutes. Welcome to Friday Night Specials with Diane Lenning. This is Diane Lenning, your host, coming to you live from the United States of America. We are reaching out tonight especially to Kenya and the continent of Africa, the Mideast, and the Eastern Hemisphere. And sometimes our co-host, John, is able to call in depending on the circumstances there in Kenya. We are so glad you're with us tonight. Let's open tonight and bow our heads in prayer and pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for each listener and each person that the listener will contact, and they know in their daily lives, wherever they live and whoever they are, we pray blessings upon them, and that you will give our listeners the boldness to share the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. For we know we are in the end times, according to the book of Revelation, which is indeed the word of God. And we believe, Lord, that your will is going to be done, and probably before our very eyes in the lifetime of many of us. And we pray, Lord, that you would anoint each one of us who are children of God, that we would be able to do the job you have laid out before us. And we pray that you would anoint us and give us blessings upon all the children of God and those around the world who are forming the bride of Christ, who will be ready upon the return of Jesus Christ on the Mount of Olives. And we pray, Lord, for our leaders around the world, Lord, that if they do not know you yet, that you would woo them unto you by your Spirit, that they would each receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior. There's no reason they don't have to be Christians as well. Lord, we pray that everyone in government would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they would hear the word as given from the book of Revelation and the rest of the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. We pray blessings upon our world leaders, that you would give them wisdom and guidance as to what decisions to make that will be in accordance of the will of God and for the furtherance of your kingdom, and especially for the best interest of the people, not for themselves. Lord, we pray that you would take away their selfish interest and help them not to be self-centered and to perpetuate things only for the benefit of themselves, but that they would look to the Lord God and to benefit all the people of whom they are supposed to serve. We thank you for it, Lord, and we pray that you would protect and bless John, who has been having difficulty calling in, that you would plant in his heart, Lord, a greater desire to fulfill his commitment to the Lord and to your calling on his life. And we pray for each one who are Christians in Africa, Lord, that you would protect them and heal them, Lord. For those who are sick and infirmed, Lord, we pray that you would touch them. For those who have abdominal maladies that come from perhaps impure water, Lord, we pray that you would give them knowledge and training with how to have good, healthful circumstances in their environment and good nutritional knowledge of the proper food to eat for a greater physical health of all their communities. We pray blessings upon them. We pray that you would give them greater understanding of the Scripture as they meet together in their homes, their communities, and their local churches, in order to gain greater understanding of what the Scriptures mean, and helping them to be more mature Christians and to walk and act more like the Jesus Christ, who served as our role model while here on earth, and that we can learn about in the Scripture, especially in the New Testament. Lord, we thank you for it, and pray that you would give us greater understanding of the word tonight as we read it for those who are listening. In the blessed name of Jesus, amen. Well, I'm trusting and hoping, praying and believing that John will be able to call in tonight. But if he doesn't, I know many of you in Africa know English. Most of you know British English, but you can understand me. So I am praying that you will continue to listen anyway and try to improve your English if you speak another language. let's just take a few minutes and worship the Lord here as we listen to this song. Dear Lord, we pray that everyone can learn how to worship the Lord. We praise you, Lord. Bless your name. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We'll be back with you in a few moments. Stay with us. We are back tonight to read in Revelation. And last week we read in chapter 18 of Revelation, which was indeed a fairly heavy set of information here in this chapter. And a recap a little bit, we found out that an angel came down from heaven and the earth was lightened with his glory, and we found that the mighty Babylon had fallen and had become the habitation of the devils and the hold of every foul spirit, which I believe we have seen occur already in our lifetime. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily that everything in each chapter has occurred. When I say maybe one thing has, because Revelation is difficult to understand, and since much of it is symbolism, we may see parts here and there that we know have taken place. Maybe the other parts have, but maybe we just don't understand yet whether or not it has occurred. But the important thing is that we know that as children of God, He has a plan for us, and He plans to protect us. Unless you have been the chosen few who will be martyrs of the Lord and will have a special place of leadership in the kingdom thereafter, it says, if you become a martyr for the Lord. So that indeed would be an honor. And we pray for those who may be chosen for that, that the Lord will bless you and keep you and prepare you for that. Much as Jesus had a place in the scripture of great trials, but the Lord helped him through it, and he did indeed accomplish it. We also found in chapter 18 that all the nations had drunk of the wine of the wrath of the fornication. So they were, the kings of the earth have committed fornication and have been full of sin. And that verse always comes to my mind about how in the last day the devil will go around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And we are seeing much of this occurring right now, especially in Asia and Africa and the Mideast, where the devil is just rampantly going around, seeking whom he may destroy. We pray for Christians, for protection for you from this roaring lion that is going around, seeking whom he may devour. This is a part of what John the Divine has spoken of in Revelation, that is a fulfillment of the scripture that shows the end time is here. We are living in the end times, my friends, and it's important that we read and understand it, and that we stay prayed up, as they used to say, and our wicks are trimmed, as the scripture says, and we're prepared and ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, because there will be many Christians who will rule and reign with Christ, and we must be ready for that time. Let's read together in chapter 19. We're going to find in this chapter that God is praised in heaven for his righteous judgments, and we will see about the marriage of the Lamb. And that's what I was talking about. We will be the bride of Christ as Christians. And we're going to have a marriage with the Lamb. Now, it's interesting that it uses the terms righteous judgment. Judgment, when it is righteous and it's judgment of God, is a godly good thing because it holds people accountable for their lives and how they have lived their lives. Now, those who are in sin don't like righteous judgment. They struggle and fight against it because they are living in a chosen path of wickedness, following in the kingdom of sin and evil. And that's a free choice that God has given us. But for you and I, my friends and brethren and sisters of the church, we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and choose to follow righteousness and goodness. And you can choose that tonight or today as well. If you do, we'll give you opportunity to become a part of God's family later in this broadcast. Verse 1, chapter 19. Please, if you have a book of Revelation or a New Testament, look that up with us and follow along now in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 19. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore or harlot, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of her servants at her hand. We read earlier how those who had been martyred were praying under the altar that their blood of their sacrifice would be avenged. We found here in chapter 18 that the Lord God has avenged the blood of his servants at our hand. Verse 3, and again they said, Alleluia, and our smoke rose up forever and ever. Hallelujah. I like to say hallelujah. That's the same thing as alleluia here in the scripture. Verse 4, and the 24 elders, or the 24 elders, and the four beasts or living creatures fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That's in the Hallelujah chorus we play at Christmas, that phrase. I'll say it again, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife, that's us, the bride of Christ, hath made herself ready. Now many have said this is the end of the tribulation. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean, bright, and white, and pure. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, who is Saint John the Divine, write, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. So Faithful and True were sitting upon the white horse, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Wow. So when the white horse comes, this is symbolic probably, but we should be able to identify when we see it who the faithful and true is upon the white horse. For he will in righteousness judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. I wonder what that name will be. And he was clothed with a vesture dripped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So when the Word of God sits upon that white horse, it will represent faithfulness and truth, and in the righteousness he will judge and make war. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. To me, when it says he shall make war, shows me that he will have power over those who have stood against the Lord before. Verse 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there's another phrase that's in the Hallelujah Chorus song written and sung at Christmas time of the Hallelujah Chorus. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls, that's birds, and that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. So a supper means a time of feast or banquet, or probably a time of great rejoicing. 18, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Well, that, to make a pun, is a meaty verse, isn't it? We're going to be eating lots of flesh. Now, I would think that's symbolic, in that it may mean that they're ruling over them. 19, and I saw the beast and kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. So the white horse that says the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is going to have an army too. I hope I'm in God's army. I'm sure many of you hope so too. 20, and the beast was taken. To me that means taken control of. And with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. So the King of Kings is going to take power over and control over the beast and the false prophet and all those that were performing false miracles. Although the miracles were indeed happening, they were done through a false prophet. And those that worshipped the image or the beast and who had taken the mark of the beast, and all of these were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. So to me, that says immediate judgment for those who had taken the mark and worshipped the beast and followed the false prophet. So it's important for us as Christians to have wisdom and discernment to be able to discern the true God and to discern the false beast and false prophet so that we don't follow by mistake those who might claim they are God or a prophet of God. Verse 21, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. That tells me that the birds in the air had a feast upon the flesh of those who were slain and killed by the King of Kings on the white horse. Now it says, they were killed with a sword that proceedeth out of his mouth. Now that could be literal or it could be symbolic. We know that many believe that God spoke the world into existence. Perhaps it could mean here again that this powerful King of Kings just spoke the slaying of the remnant. However it happens, we will definitely be able to identify it at the time it occurs because of the scripture here. Now, one thing about the scripture is it does not define things too specifically because the Lord wants some of it to be known closer to the time as it is revealed. It says in scripture that the Lord will reveal more to us as the time approaches for it to be, or the scripture to be, fulfilled. So that's one reason it's written in symbolism. It's, and I think in part, maybe written to keep the total plan from the enemy as part of good strategic planning for the God, our God, to have power and to win in the end. He doesn't want Satan to know the total plan because that would give him an unfair advantage that God does not want him to have. That was the chapter of 19 of Revelation. And that, in more ways than one, was a meaty chapter in that it was pretty in-depth, a strong and potent, an important chapter for us to understand and to have hope that there is a time when we will all be victorious over evil together, that we will rule and reign with Christ, and that we will see victory over evil and their righteous judgment meted upon them when they will be thrown into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Now, in all fairness, these people thrown into the lake of fire will have opportunity after opportunity to choose God. And we're giving people that opportunity twice a week around the world. And many, many other people are doing this as well around the world, sharing the gospel and giving people opportunity. We have seen some people reject God's word in our work in sharing the gospel, but we have also gloriously seen many people receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and we praise the Lord for that, and that people receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior. I'm probably going to have time to read chapter 20 because it doesn't look like John's going to be able to call in again. But before we get to chapter 20, I'd like to take our time, as I do each week, to give opportunity for those who would like to become a child of God. Are you a child of God? Well, you can know whether you are or not, because the scripture says in 1 John 3:9 that whoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, that's, you know, as long as you are choosing to abide by that and to remain in the Lord. The Bible also says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life." It's important for us to receive God's best gift. It's free. There's no cost, meaning you don't have to do good works to be saved, but the Lord certainly does expect us out of our loving heart to want to do good works for the Lord. And as we mature and become adult Christians, we learn that it's by our fruit, in other words, by our sharing with the Lord, that others know we are a mature tree, so to speak, and bear fruit of other Christians coming to know the Lord because of our works for him. John 3:3 also said that you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. And Romans 5:8 says, "But as God proves his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." John 14:6, it says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Now, if you're Buddhist or Hindu or another religion, that's okay. You can accept the Lord Jesus and still continue with any of the ways of that religion that line up with the principles of Christianity, because your religions are basically ones that focus on a meditation, where Christianity is a relationship with Jesus Christ. So as a Christian, I study and I can read about Hinduism and Buddhism and still be a Christian. Whether or not you can still attend temple, I don't know the religions enough to be able to discuss that point, but I do believe the Lord Jesus would put in your heart what he would want you to do. You could certainly still have Buddhist friends and Hindu friends. I have some. And you can still get along and share the good principles of life that often overlap in the various religions. But I think it's important that you know that you do have to receive Jesus Christ is your Savior to enter heaven. Now, I know Hinduism teaches about nirvana, which we could compare it to the Christian heaven, and that there are certain levels of reaching nirvana in Hinduism, but I suggest to you that those are good living principles of life that compare to the good living principles of many religions. And so, please listen to the Spirit of the Lord and ask yourself if you are indeed the true Son of God. Lord, reveal yourself to me, because I want to be in heaven in the hereafter and be with the Lord Jesus Christ and still live with those here on earth of my friends and family who may be another religion. I believe it is workable. And it is your own private decision. You don't have to get permission from anyone else to accept the Lord Jesus. And as to whether you share with others, you can just allow your life to reflect the love of Jesus Christ. The scripture does say to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. So where it might not be wise to share that you are a Christian, let the Lord direct you in what you should do. I do understand that difficulty for some around the world. But the important thing is that you receive salvation by accepting the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, as your friend, Savior, and guide. If you'd like to do that, pray with me this prayer right now. Say with me, "Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I am separated from you, and I want to be with you. I believe that Christ died on the cross and shed his blood for my sins, and I receive your forgiveness. And I know and have learned that the empty cross shows the world that Jesus Christ is alive and risen from the dead and has returned to the Father's right hand to be with us in the hereafter and has given our Holy Spirit gift to be with us each day to guide us and give us greater understanding and help us to be good Christians, growing in the stature of the Lord. I will turn from my wicked ways and walk in your way, Lord, stepping out from darkness into the light, into the ways of the Lord Jesus. I now invite you into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior, and I will follow and obey you as the Lord of my life, all the days of my life. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for this precious gift of eternal life. And I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for all of you who just received the Lord into your heart. Now, it's important that you continue to read or listen to or somehow learn more about the scriptures of the New Testament. You can listen to my shows every week or any time of day or night if you go to blogtalkradio.com/Diane-Lenning, which is on the internet. I'll say that website again in a minute, so get a pencil. You can listen to the scripture any time of day or night. If you just access it on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/Diane-Lenning. Now, all of the lessons in the year of 2012 are in the book of John, which is very good to explain what a Christian is about. And it explains Jesus' life here on earth when he was on the earth about 2,000 years ago. And he gives us an example of what it is to be Christ-like. And when we're a Christian, the word Christ is in Christian, we want to be like Christ and show his love and emulate or practice how he lived on earth. And the scripture tells us that. And on Friday nights, and on Wednesday night as well, but it goes quicker on Friday nights, we're studying the book of Revelation. And Friday night is mostly in English. Wednesday nights, this is in the year 2013, starting in January 2013, we've been studying Revelation. But on Wednesday night, I have an interpreter with me each week. And we're also having, along with English, we're having Thai, Vietnamese, and Urdu. And we're looking for another speaker in whatever language you are, if you hear this, and you would like to call in and interpret, that would be great. If you have the ability in any language that we don't have on my show, we'd love to have you join us. You need the ability to call in on my toll-free number. So if you can do that, and you have a Bible in your language to read, that's what you need, the ability to call in and a Bible in your language, and we will be happy to have you call in to interpret. You can email me about that or any other prayer requests or information at my email. It's my name at diane@lenning.com, D-I-A-N-E at L-E-N-N-I-N-G.com. And all that information is written on the internet, on the website, blogtalkradio.com/Diane-Lenning. We are going to be reading one more chapter But before we do that, let's stop for a short break and just praise the Lord for those who have received the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Remember, most of the songs I play are available to you on the internet. If you just Google the name of the song and the person who sings it, you can download for a small fee most of the songs that I play. And some are in the public domain, especially those in public domain by the Mormon Church. I do not happen to be Mormon, but I do appreciate the music that they have put in the public domain. So let's now worship together. We Will Glorify, as sung by Twyla Paris. We will glorify the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. I'll be back with you shortly. Stay with us. Couple of weeks back that I thought we had reached a high point in the book of Revelation, but I think we still yet are looking to the next chapter for that high point. Each chapter just seems to rise, and in chapter 20 we are going to find that Satan is bound for 1,000 years. Now what does that mean? When Satan is bound, it means there will be no sin, no murdering, no killing, no death, no starvation, no sickness, no illnesses, no harming other people, no wars, no plights, probably no earthquakes and no tsunamis. 1,000 years of God controlling the earth, because devil, Satan, is bound for 1,000 years. Isn't that amazing? I hope we all live to see that. So let's read together in chapter 20. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. Verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit or abyss, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now, notice how they use several words here to say and name who evil is. It's the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan. Now, is that one entity, or is that his entire kingdom? It may just mean his entire kingdom. All his armies are bound along with him from doing anything. Because we see then that in verse 3, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon it over him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So even after 1,000 years of no sin and all this goodness and godly kingdom, the Lord is yet another time going to allow evil to be loosed for a little season for people to choose for certain whether or not they want to follow after God or follow after evil. Can you believe there would be anyone who would follow after evil after living for 1,000 years in such a paradise, so to speak? Verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that glorious? Verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. And then this is the first resurrection. So after that 1,000 years, then there will be the first resurrection. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Wow, so that kind of seems to circle around, doesn't it? Well, we'll read some more and see if it explains it a little better. And when 1,000 years were expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. It's almost like it repeated what we just read, isn't it? Verse 8, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And the fire came down from heaven, out of heaven, and devoured them. Wow. So the fire from heaven is going to devour those who battle against God. 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are already, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Wow. 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, the throne. So we're talking here about the great white throne judgment in chapter 20. Because 11 it said, and I saw a great white throne. 12, and I saw the dead, great and small, stand before God, the throne, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell, or Hades, delivereth up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Okay, so there's a little discussion about works as a Christian, and the scripture says that we're saved and we enter the kingdom of heaven through Christ Jesus. But many believe that our rewards in heaven will be according to the works we have done on earth. So, I don't know, my family kind of used to have a little humor with that, and I think there is some truth to it as well, that we'll each have a crown with jewels in it according to the life we've lived on earth. And verse 14 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. So hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire. So that tells me that hell and the lake of fire are two different entities. So that perhaps people in hell will really get the burning when they're cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. So they have a first physical death in their body in which they've gone to heaven or hell. This may be where the Catholics get the idea of purgatory. Christians, other than Catholics, don't really teach about a purgatory. But this indicates there may be a hell, or in the earth, it said, or in the grave, where the bodies await the great white throne judgment. And then they're either cast into the lake of fire or in the permanent heaven. 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Wow, and I could hardly wait to read chapter 21 because I'm looking ahead at that next verse. And oh, wow, that looks even more wonderful than chapter 20. You know, my friends, my Christian friends, we have something great to look forward to, don't we? Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, I just have goosebumps all over. Praise the name of the Lord. Do you feel the Holy Spirit around you as we read the book of Revelation? We are in God's end time, and I feel it ever so much more than I've ever felt it in my 60-some years of living as a Christian. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, I just feel the Spirit of the Lord upon us in the reading of Revelation. Hallelujah. Just praise the Lord. Together, Lord. Oh, how great is our God. Let's just worship the Lord together. Praise the name of the Lord. How great is our God. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your promise.
Clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice.
If you Google on the internet "How Great Is Our God," a song by Bethany Dillon, you can find that song. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, brothers and sisters in the Lord, we only have 2 chapters left in Revelation, and we will have finished the book of Revelation the first time. Now, why would I go through it a second time? This is where the hard work begins, because the second time around, I'm going to take it a little more slowly, and we're going to look for the cross references in the scripture that are supportive and connected to the happenings in the end time, as prophesied in other parts of the Bible, much in the Old Testament, some in the New. And we're going to see how the book of the Bible is interwoven together. It's all related to each other. Even though all of the books are separate books, they all support and supplement each other and predict and help iron out what some new Christians often feel are inconsistencies, but they're really not. It just seems like that oftentimes when so much is written in symbolism or metaphors. There is an above-the-ground literal meaning, and there is a below-the-surface symbolic meaning for much of the writings of the Bible. And therefore, we need the gift of the Holy Spirit that the Lord left for us when he went to heaven, back with to be in the right hand of God after the Lord Jesus arose from the grave. And the Holy Spirit can give us greater understanding. Now, the book is written, the book of the Bible is written on about the 12th grade level of high school. So if you don't have a high school diploma and haven't kept up with your reading abilities, it may seem a little bit more difficult for you. However, if you listen with us, you will learn much, and the Holy Spirit can supplement where you missed out and give you greater understanding. The Lord God wants us all to understand the Bible, and he understands the different thought patterns of the different cultures. You don't have to be English to understand the Bible or to be a Christian. It just happens that I'm English and I speak English, and I'm one who's sharing with you. That's why we do try to get interpreters in other language to help give you a little literal, better understanding. But the Lord knows your language. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows your culture. No matter who you are, where you are, rich or poor, famous or not, great world leader or not, in the eyes of God, we all must answer to God at the white throne judgment, and each one of us will be required to give account for our deeds while here on earth. Are you ready for the white throne judgment, my friend? If you feel you're not, the first step is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you're listening, you heard us say the scripture and the prayer for that in this show, and it's never too late to receive the Lord Jesus as long as you're alive. And so take this opportunity to say, yes, Lord Jesus, I want to be ready for the great white throne judgment. I want to be a part of God's family. I want to help rule and reign with Christ in 1,000 years. I want to be in the hereafter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we lift your name on high. Praise. Hallelujah. They praise the Lord. Say hallelujah. Lord, I lift your name on high. I do it now. Lift God's name on high. Praise the name of the Lord.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
My brothers and sisters in Christ, we are coming to the end of another great time together, reading the scriptures together about Revelation. Let's just pray together. Lord, we pray for all those who have not yet come to know the Lord, that you would woo them unto you by your Spirit, and that you would let them see the love of Christ, the love of God through each one of us around the world, in your family, in the family of God. And help us, brothers and sisters in Christ, to pray for one another, to stand for one another. We're so thankful, Lord, for the prayers of those who have been praying for me. And I continue to pray as well for all my Christian friends around the world. Lord, we're so grateful for the love of God expressed here on earth through our Christian friends. And we're so grateful for seeing God's power and glory and reality through the natural beauty around the world. For we know that only a creator God could have created such a splendid, wonderful, beautiful world. And where goodness abounds, we know that that is the goodness of the Lord. And where evil abounds, we know that that is the wickedness of the evil Satan. And we pray, Lord, that thy will be done for the furtherance of your kingdom. We pray for anointing on all our Christian friends who want to share the good news with others, that you would give them a boldness and a way to approach their friends without their friends even being quite certain that they're being asked about the status of their soul and their hereafter. Teach us, Lord, to just ask one another, do you know about the hereafter, that there's a heaven where we can live with God? And just, Lord, teach us all how to speak, to open the interest and the door of those who would want to know more about the Lord and about God, and to live a godly life, and to share in the ruling of your kingdom in the hereafter and in the end time. Praise you and thank you, Lord, for each one. I'm so grateful for all my friends I've come to know through this Bible ministry on the radio. And we pray, Lord, you would continue to anoint each one of us who share the word of God with others. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Praise the Lord together for just a couple more minutes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good day or good night, my friends. It's been a great time together. Remember that God loves you and so do I. Take care, stay prayed up and read in the Word, and we'll be with you every Wednesday and Friday night, but in this program following these chapters on Friday night. So we look forward to being with you again next Friday night. God loves you and so do I. Take care. Bye-bye.